It's time for the North Idaho PrepCast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the North Idaho PrepCast on IdahoSports.com, where we are breaking down the biggest athletic stories in Districts 1 and 2, week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. Thanks for being with us on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. We go live there. You can also watch on replay, of course. You can also listen to the North Idaho PrepCast at IdahoSports.com and wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. My name is Brandon Bainey. Let's bring in our North Idaho expert, Ryan Skaggs. Skaggs, what's up?
Not much, just working away, man. Enjoying that sunshine out there too, though.
Yes, I'm letting the sunshine come in a little bit through the window as well. It's a beautiful day for sure. On the show today, I am wearing my Idaho State University polo shirt. A couple weeks ago, we kind of joked about the Idaho Vandals men's basketball team assembling a super team of Idaho high school graduates, and I feel like we spoke that into existence. Of course, Colton Mitchell from Lake City left Idaho State to transfer to Idaho. But then they picked up Jack Payne as well from Colorado State.
And then they got the darling kid that played at Central Valley in Spokane. He transferred from Washington State to ISU. So they picked up a couple pretty solid transfers there over the last week. That was a nice job by the Bengals.
Yeah, and then on the Vandal side, you know, we talked about, hey, you could have this all Idaho lineup, right? They're 3/5 of the way there, and I saw a picture on social media, which made me think about this with Titus Yearout from Lapway, who was already in the program. Looks like he's staying, and then Jack Payne, and then Colton Mitchell. I mean, hey, if we like Case Wynot and Blake Buchanan, those are the two big fish that the Vandals would have to reel in.
Yeah. I don't think either of those two gentlemen are going to be dabbling in Moscow anytime soon. But, yeah, Case put out his final three as he reopened his recruitment, and he's down to Idaho State, UW, and Washington State. So, I mean, that's well within the realm of he can go play Big Ten, WCC, or Mountain West Conference play, so or wherever the Cougs end up going after next year.
Right. Pretty legit for sure. Well, a boy can dream, I guess.
We'll
continue to see what happens there.
Yeah, Blake's the projected starter for Virginia next year. So, I mean, I don't know if he's leaving the ACC anytime soon, but
yeah.
it's NIL money shows up from somewhere that the Lighthouse Salad Dressing decides to pay him like $250,000. I don't know.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that would be something for sure. So anyways, we'll transition into spring sports proper. We're going to dive into some really wild baseball and softball races that are happening across the northern landscape. We'll start at the 5A level and kind of work our way down. We're not going to hit every classification this week or dive really deep into it. We just want to kind of comment on things that we've seen. I feel like we got to start with the 5A Inland Empire League in baseball, Skaggs, where if you look at the standings right now, Post Falls and Lake City are each 7-3 in league play. Coeur d'Alene has tied them in the win column at 7, but they're 7-5. And then even Lewiston is only 3 games back in the loss column. They're in last place at 4-6, and they all just keep beating up on each other.
Yeah, Lewiston stole one from Lake City last week. And, I mean, yeah, like we used it in basketball. I might have to recycle that Spider-Man meme again. Just everybody pointing at each other like, I don't know who wants to win this thing. But, that conference, man, is just – I mean, there's great athletes and they can really hit and pitch. And, we haven't seen the bats show up the last few weeks. So that's what's really, I think, come along with the weather is the ball's getting to be a little bit more live off the bat. So – the Lake City still in my mind is the most impressive of the group. Although Post Falls is right there too, very quietly, but, Lake City's just been, kind of clipping away and been fairly impressive lately. So, I still give the edge to the T-Wolves, but man, this race is just going to bear down as we get further and further towards, district time.
Yeah. Lewiston split with Lake City earlier this year, way back in March. And the second game, the game that Lake City won was only 2-1. They split with Post Falls. They've split with Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. So one time, and then they split with Lake City again. So like one in the fourth time through the order, they have split with everybody. What's hurting Lewiston right now is they were swept by Moscow in the two games that counted in the combined 5A, 4A, IEL. So if I'm Lewiston and I'm sitting there in last place, like they have been kind of the team the most recent couple of seasons, right? Lewiston's been the team to get to state and do well. Lake City historically has been the program, but if I'm Lewiston, I'm sitting there in last place going, why not? Why not us?
Yeah, I think everybody's sitting in that seat right now. I mean, Coeur d'Alene, they're sitting there kind of quietly, you know, twiddling their thumbs a little bit, saying, hey, we're in this thing too. And, you know, each team, I think, has their kind of forte. They have their own, you know, Lewiston plays really good small ball. I think, you know, Coeur d'Alene offensively has, you know, some really nice pieces there in the lineup. You know, Post Falls has got some great pitching. Defensively, they're really solid. I mean, Lake City's good offensively, and then their outfield's really, really good too. So, I mean, each team's kind of got their little thing that they do really well, and they give fits. So, you know, but like you mentioned Moscow at the 4A level too. That's another team that like very quietly is having some success too. That, you know, doesn't get a lot of notoriety and fanfare. It's going to be a battle between them, and I mean, Sandpoint and Lakeland are all kind of in the mix. Lakeland with a new coach has breathed a little bit of life into that program too, with Coach Bavakwa. And you know, Al does a great job motivating kids, and I've been around him on the football field, and you know, like all those groups have just got some good athletes. I think this is the deepest total top to bottom field we've seen in the 5A 4A combined IEL in a long time.
Yeah, it is wild, to be sure. I mean, we saw it last night. Coeur d'Alene and Lake City played in a doubleheader at Ted Page Field at Coeur d'Alene High, and they split. Lake City wins the first game, Skaggs. We go into the seventh and final inning. It's the top of the seventh. Coeur d'Alene is trying to close it out, up 5-3. Cooper Smith hits a three-run home run for Lake City to put the T-Wolves in front 6-5, and then Lake City closes it out in the bottom of the seventh. So that's the first game. The second game, Coeur d'Alene doesn't let it affect them. They come out and win 13-6. It's just this district tournament is going to be interesting because it's not a doubleheader. It's not a two games in 2 days type of thing. You're going to be able to line up your pitching a little more. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes up. The seedings really won't matter at all when it comes to districts, I feel like.
No, I think it's just going to be, how does your lineup match up against what's out there on the, who's on the bump across from you? And, you know, that's the thing with baseball, I think, especially the five, you know, the single elimination kind of setup that they have, it's not a series or anything else like that. So you're going to see somebody's ace, and then, you know, who can match up behind him. I think the really interesting game is if you lose that first game and you get a chance to play it back in, you know, people throwing their best pitcher right on the bump to start things out. It could be interesting to see. I mean, like who has the best complete rotation? Cause you're going to be able to play like, what is it? 3 games in 3 days or 4 days or something like that. So, you know, you're probably not going to see the same pitcher twice unless you do. It's going to be in like a relief appearance towards the end of the final game. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be great, you know, captivating baseball.
The team I'm keeping an eye on here over the final stretch of the season here, the next 13 days or so, is Post Falls. The Trojans still have to play Lake City all four times. They're going to start on Saturday with a doubleheader at Lake City, and then a doubleheader next Tuesday in Post Falls. And then they wrap up with a trip to Lewiston with potentially a chance to win the regular season. So Post Falls is the team I'm kind of keeping an eye on down the stretch here.
Yeah, Post Falls has got a good record, but it's also because they played, you know, the Sandpoints, the Lakelands, they played the 4A schedule pretty heavy early on. So, like you said, they still got that nice slate of games that they're going to have to, you know, make hay in. I mean, to get, you know, winning record, if they can come out of the Lake City games with a winning record, I mean, that's really, they're going to be in the driver's seat going towards the end of that the regular season.
And they do still have to play Moscow somewhere in there too, right? Yeah. They were supposed to play Moscow early in the season. That got postponed due to bad weather. So that is still coming up too. But otherwise, Post Falls is split with everybody. They've split with Coeur d'Alene 2-2. for the season. They split with Lewiston. If any team can come out and sweep one of these doubleheaders, that might be enough to nudge them to the finish line. But so far, nobody's been able to do it.
I think, yeah, we might see the sack race to just get district seating just because everybody's going to be splitting regular season with each other.
It's nuts. It's fun to watch, though. And that to me is great when all the teams are competitive and pushing each other to be great. Yeah. I think that just makes everybody better, and it's a winning formula. Similar story on the softball side, Skaggs. Have you looked at the IEL 5A softball
standings? I was looking last week, and it was tight last week. So I'm only assuming after this weekend and the early this week with some of the slates that we've had, it's only closer now. So that's usually typically how it goes up here.
Coeur d'Alene, 6-2. Lake City, 6-2. Lewiston, 6-2. All of them.
Of course. Yeah, why not?
Post Falls bringing up the rear at 4-8, only because somebody's got to take some L's. Yeah. I don't have an inclination to who would. To me, Lewiston always has the most potential. Some years they capitalize on it. Sometimes they don't. The Barney sisters are phenomenal. Coeur d'Alene has a great coach in Bobby Doretta, who's been doing this a long time, knows the fundamentals in and out. Lake City has kind of experienced a revitalization of their softball program, right? They had been down and under a new coach, it's been lifted up. So this is just is equally tough to predict as the baseball race.
Yeah, and and just a testament, I think, you know, the level playing field, all these kids play in the off season too. And, you know, there's so many kids playing traveling ball, and it's just, yeah, I mean, it just speaks volumes to the quality of athlete in the area. And the coaches have done a great job, and the programs behind the scenes have done great jobs feeding these teams. And to see a logjam, I mean, we're growing accustomed to that. I think we can pretty much just expect it each year that we're going to see a logjam in this conference, because it's history has been showing us that's the case for the last, what, 5-6 years. I think the champion in third place has ended up within like a game and a half of each other. So, I mean, that just tells you the level of quality of team up here.
Yeah, and again, if we look at the data, you'll be shocked to hear this. Lot of splits. You know, Lewiston split with Lake City last Saturday. They split with Coeur d'Alene last Tuesday. Last night, Coeur d'Alene and Lake City played for the first time in the Crosstown Showdown. Lake City earns the split there. Coeur d'Alene wins the first game 16-3. And then Lake City wins the nightcap 12-5. So it's not even like, oh man, like, we dominated the first one and lost a nail biter in the second one. It's like, it's a split and both teams win decisively with, in theory, the same pitcher pitching, right? Because in softball, yeah, the same pitcher will turn around and so there's just, I can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah. And that's where you just look at it. You know, sometimes it's just, you get into a rhythm and just having the game end interrupts the rhythm. And then you step back on the rubber the next game. And it's like, you don't kick off from where you were the prior one. And that's just what we've seen a few times with some of these pitchers, because they're all phenomenal. Each team has a great pitcher. That's the one thing that I've noticed, is that, you know, you look at each individual, you know, stat line, typically it's like you'll win the first, drop the second. And it's pretty much that way with everybody. So, you know, the bats either figure out the release point, or, you know, something breaks, or you start seeing the pitchers wear down. But yeah, it's just going to be compelling baseball going down the stretch. I really look at this, and there's a lot to be, you know, watched and keep an eye on as we press on towards the end of the season. We're getting close too with softball, but yeah, there's the logjam doesn't surprise me. I kind of called it at the beginning of the season. I was like, I don't know who to pick as a winner. Like, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's insane. And yeah, great baseball and softball down the stretch. Let's go to Class 2A, Central Idaho League, where things are getting interesting in both the baseball and softball races. In baseball, Orofino still the team in front. They're 13-1 overall, 4-0 in league play. They caught their first loss of the season over the weekend. They lost to Marcin in a doubleheader, so they split. They won the first game 5-3. They fell in the second game 7-4. I loved that they put this on the schedule because Marcin and Orofino both got to the semifinals last year, both lost in heartbreaking fashion and had to turn around and play in the third place game. So it's a natural extension to go, hey, you guys want to meet up in the regular season and play again? And I thought it made both teams better.
Yeah, they beat absolutely.
Orofino now has swept Grangeville for the season. Everybody plays three times against every conference opponent. They beat Grangeville in a doubleheader at the start of April. They beat Grangeville last night, 11-6. Now they have a three-game set with Kellogg coming up, two games on Friday to start it. And that, to me, is the swing that will determine this league race, because Kellogg kind of stubbed their toe last night and lost to St. Mary's 3-0. Wyatt Holmes came out and had 11 Ks on the mound for the Lumberjacks.
Yeah, and the Lumberjacks looked really solid last night in the game too. So, yeah, I mean, if Orofino runs the table, I mean, we all kind of like look at it, it's like, man, Orofino's the juggernaut favorite up north in District 1-2. And, you know, if they can hold suit and just play consistent ball, they're going to be probably the champ again. But, you know, don't count out some of these teams back behind them that, you know, they wake up and they show up and have a nice affair. I mean, you could look at Grangeville. You could look at, you know, Kellogg. You could look at realistically St. Mary's as being one of those teams that could just show up on one night and just end up popping in, you know, 7-8 runs and have a really nice defensive game behind it. And that's enough to get the win. Like that, those teams are realistically in every game. So, you know, it's a tougher conference than I think shows up on paper. But yeah, it's going to be a nice, I think Orofino's still my favorite running on the stretch. I still look at them to win this thing, but, you know, I think, you know, St. Mary's Grangeville, that battle for number two could be pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I guess, you know what, as you were talking there, Skaggs, you've convinced me. I'm going to walk back my prediction a little bit. I'm not sure this Kellogg Orofino series coming up decides it, because even Grangeville, let's say Grangeville is 3-3 in conference. Well, the three losses are to Orofino. Let's say they win out. And Orofino stumbles somewhere. I mean, all of a sudden, they're right back in the mix. St. Mary's is 4-2. They lost to Orofino 10-7. And then the second game was actually tied. And the game had to be suspended due to darkness. So they're going to make that game up the next time they play, I think. So and so you're looking at, okay, well, St. Mary's was right there with Orofino. Yep. St. Mary's has lost to Grangeville, but they beat Kellogg. These four teams just continue to amaze, and just look at the overall records, right? You look at Orofino 13-1, Kellogg 6-5 is the worst of the group. St. Mary's is 9-5. Grangeville is 11-3. It's incredible. Yeah.
And look at some of the, teams that they were playing too. I mean, you look at the non-league losses for say like St. Mary's. I mean, they're playing up, they're playing the 3A teams. They're playing some of the 4A teams. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like they're all playing bums or anything like that. And St. Mary's, when they show up against some of the best at 1A D2, or at 1A, because there's only one class, if they beat the 1A teams. So, you know, it's like, you know, this St. Mary's team is not, they're not a slouch at all. I think they're kind of getting slept on a little bit in all this. And so is Grangeville for that matter.
It's incredible. We'll continue to monitor it as we go down the stretch here. Let's go to the 2A CIL for softball, where for the longest time, Orofino had kind of been in the driver's seat, right? They were 4-0 in league play. They were 9-6 overall. Well, last night, Grangeville takes care of business, Skaggs, and beats the Maniacs 13-9. Karis Barger leaves the yard twice. Now, I say she had two home runs. I never know if they're inside the park home runs or out of the park home runs. Two home runs for Karis Barger. And how about this? Grangeville was trailing heading into the bottom of the sixth. This game was in Grangeville last night. They were trailing, and then they scored seven times in the bottom of the sixth to pull it out of the fire and win 13-9. Just incredible.
That's impressive. And, you know, those games are interesting where you start getting a run or two and you're like, all right, we got a chance. And then all of a sudden you get another one across the plate. And then if you like clear the bases or something like that, you had two on and you get a homer. Like, I mean, then the route's on, the rally's going. I mean, it's just the snowball effect at that point. But I mean, we know Karis just as an athlete from the basketball court, but you know, she's a phenomenal athlete. She could leave the yard. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. But she's also got wheels, too. Like, she's one of the better athletes on the floor in basketball. I mean, she can flat scoot across the basketball court, so why not across the base path? So, but, yeah, I mean, I look at this, and, you know, it's much like the boys side with baseball. Like you look at, you have your favorite, but I mean, realistically in this conference, it's kind of like anybody's game any given night. I mean, I look at Grangeville, they're a dangerous team with just because they're always in it. Like you can't count them out. They can get run production. And you know, that's one thing in softball. It's like if you're pitching struggling, but you can get run production, you're still going to be in games. So, you know, I look at it and maybe for Orfino, it's just kind of like, that's one that you flush and just move on. Like don't dwell on that loss. I mean, that one could bug you a little bit, but at the same time, don't let it get too far under your skin and just move. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, go on to the next game and just keep taking care of business.
Yeah. Just like in baseball, you play everybody three times. And so Orofino had already beaten Grangeville twice, earlier in the season. So they did still win the season series against the Bulldogs 2-1. So who's in first place now? And the standings are really funky right now because we've had a lot of games get postponed and we've had some games kind of get suspended due to darkness that have to be made up later. But Kellogg all of a sudden is sitting in first place alone at 3-0, very light schedule so far. They've played Priest River and St. Mary's basically. To me, I still like Orofino in the end, but I don't know. Interesting data point with Grangeville getting that big win last night.
Yeah, so. Grangeville. Well, the Cats are right there too. I mean, maybe we're sleeping on them a little bit, even though they've quote unquote played the softer schedule. We don't know until they start stepping into the box with Grangeville and everybody else. So yeah, that's going to be compelling, you know, the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for sure. We are going to wrap up with the White Pine League race in baseball here, Skaggs. We're going to go to the 1A level where, again, we've lamented this several times on the PrepCast this season. Four teams are going to get to go to state this year. It's not even the top four teams necessarily. It is whichever four teams are left standing at the district tournament. And by my watch here, I see six teams fighting for four spots to state. Kendrick is currently in first place, 7-1 in the league. Potlatch and Troy are both tied in the loss column. They're each 5-1. So really they're all tied in the loss column. Prairie is 2-3. Genesee is 3-5. Clearwater Valley is 2-4. Now here's where just looking at the records doesn't help a lot because last night in the White Pine League, I don't know if I've ever seen a night as dramatic as this. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a White Pine historian out there that'll be able to tell me, but we had four of the six matching up basically. And Prairie and Genesee played each other too. So really the top six were all facing each other. But specifically, I think we have to start with Troy and Potlatch. Troy loses for the first time in conference this season, only the second time overall. Potlatch knocks him off 6-4 in 11 innings, Skaggs. When was the last time you saw a high school game go 11 innings?
That is, I mean, you're talking about going through your lineup and going through your pitching staff. And I mean, you're seeing the catcher probably get out on the mound at some point. When you got the right fielder coming in to pitch at some point, you know that you're probably getting through your rotation a little bit. But yeah, an 11 inning high school game is crazy. I mean, they played at the Clearwater Park in Lewiston, which has lights, so that was beneficial to them. And you know, that's one thing with a lot of these small teams. You know, they've been able to get in a fair amount of their schedule because a lot of them have moved games into Lewiston to play some games there. So they've been able to, you know, because field conditions have not been ideal. It is mud season in a lot of these smaller communities. So field conditions have not been ideal. I know Kendrick is kind of the one nice spot that's tucked away in the canyon there in Julietta that they got pretty nice set up there along the creek. But, you know, it's just telling of the parity within this conference. We knew that it was good, but did we know that it was this good to where, you know, Paulette shows up in an 11-inning game and gets a really, really nice outing from their starting rotation? They actually get out of the starting pitching of Troy and they find their way into the lineup and they get some runs across the plate and steal a win. I mean, and I don't want to say steal a win in a negative sense, but I mean, they earned that one if they're winning in 11 innings, but just a wild day. I mean, of baseball in the White Pine.
This was ace versus ace. It was Dom Holden on the bump for Troy, Jackson Vowels taking the mound for Potlatch. This is what we saw last year in the semifinals at state. And Troy fans, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Vowels pitched for Potlatch. I'm pretty sure Holden pitched in the semis last year and then Bendel pitched in the championship, but I could be misremembering that. But either way, ace versus ace, a rematch from last year's semifinals. Jackson Vowles goes seven, allows two runs, and then turns it over to Jameson Morris, who goes the rest of the way and tosses four innings in relief. On Troy's side, Dom Holden, he ended up pitching nine innings, Skag.
That's crazy, man. We know that they have microscopic ERAs and everything, too. And, like, just for college coaches, if they're watching that game, I mean, there's some promise there. You look at starting rotation quality pitchers right there, both of them. I mean, if I'm at LCSE, I mean, I'm making a phone call. I'm making that short trip up the hill to go visit both these young men, because those are two really, really nice pieces. Yeah, they play small school ball, but, man, they play baseball at a high level.
Yeah, so Dom Holden goes nine innings, and then he turns it over to Eli Stoner. Stoner ends up throwing two innings in relief. He's the one who got in trouble in the 11th inning and ultimately took the loss. And then Javon Barton came on to finish it off for Troy. But this game, so it was a 6-4 final, Skaggs. It was tied 2-2 after regulation, and Potlatch explodes for four runs in the top of the 11th. And then Potlatch scores four in the top of the 11th. And then Troy almost pulls off a rally of their own. They get two runs across and they get the tying runs up to bat, but they just can't get them through. And so that 11th inning is kind of when the dam finally burst and Potlatch holds on for the 6-4 win. Great win for the Loggers.
Yeah, it's a great win. And you look at the conference standings. I mean, we'll talk about Kendrick's game too, but they're all kind of beating up on each other. They're all kind of making their rounds, because Troy clipped Kendrick earlier in the year 4-2, and then Kendrick turns around and beats Potlatch, and then Potlatch clips Troy. And just, it's like we said, this league we knew is ultra competitive. I still stand on my statement that the state champion is going to come out of this conference.
That's not a bold prediction.
It's not a bold prediction, but who is it? I mean, that's where the more boldness, everybody's like looking at Troy as the favorite. Potlatch has really nice balance. Kendrick's got a great offensive lineup. If Kendrick's bats are going, man, they're deadly. But, that's just the thing with these teams. Like, can you get through Holden and get to, whoever's coming out next, whether it's Stoner or somebody else? That's the question. But, that's just, it's a lot of fun, though, to watch as a spectator. It makes for interesting talking points in the middle of a Wednesday mid-morning prep cast.
Yeah, so Kendrick, Potlatch's only loss in league play so far has come to Kendrick. It was a 4-3 win. Ty Kep got the walk-off hit in the bottom of the 7th for the Tigers. Let's go to last night. Kendrick is playing Clearwater Valley. And again, we are tied up 3-3. It is another 4-3 walk-off win for the Tigers, courtesy this time of Wyatt Fitzmaurice. We're going to have to start calling Kendrick like the comeback kids, right? We have the comeback Kendrick kids, all cases.
The clutch Tigers. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, yeah. Clutch Tigers.
Really, yeah.
It's incredible.
You get one or two, like you get one here and there, but like to make it part of who you are. And that's just exciting baseball. And that tells you about the moxie of the kids too. They just don't quit. They don't wrap it up or anything like that. There's a little bit of a drive. And we know how successful they've been in other sports, but not to play favorites. But I look at this conference. I mean, that tells you Clearwater Valley, they're there. That battle for fourth is going to be crazy. I mean, you got Genesee, Clearwater Valley, Prairie, all kind of right there, throwing – it's a rock fight with each other. I mean, who's going to be able to step up into that fray in district tournament time, and who gets hot coming down the stretch? And that's – yeah, I mean, it's going to be compelling, fun – like entertaining baseball. And is the district tournament going to be better than the state tournament? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they all kind of know who's in by the semifinal game, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this thing wrap up. So.
Yeah. So last night, Prairie and Genesee end up splitting. And so let's talk about Clearwater Valley just for a quick second, because man, you got to feel bad for them. Clearwater Valley was up 3-0 in the 5th inning.
Yeah.
And Kendrick scored all their runs in the final three innings of the game. Josh Bradley is a good coach. It's a good group of kids. You know, a lot of people forget Clearwater Valley got to the championship last year, and yeah, they're sitting there at 5-10 overall and 2-4 in the league. But I mean, they have been so close so often, and yeah, eventually you got to start producing, right? You've got a bankroll. They've lost to Kendrick now twice this year, 6-4 and 4-3. They lost to Potlatch 6-1, but I don't know. They've got the potential, and there's a lot of, you know, room on the runway. So, and they only lost to Troy 3-1. So, I mean, they are right there too.
Yeah. And you know, it's close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, but at the same time, like it counts for something too. Cause you know that you can step up with these more, I don't want to say the tiering the league or anything, but the tier one teams within the conference, and you're playing with them. I mean, you're not getting blown out. It's not 28-0 and 16-1. It's, you know, it's realistically, you know, just an inning or two, getting a couple of runs across, and then so you're right there.
And the way this district tournament goes, only the top six advance. There's eight teams overall. Nez Perce and Lapway are currently, you know, seventh and eighth, based upon last year's bracket. Maybe they've changed it, but I think it's the same. Six teams get to go. The top two seeds get byes. So if you finish first or second in those regular season standings, you're in. You're into state. Yeah. Doesn't matter what happens at districts. You're just playing for your state seeding at that point. That's why it is so critical to finish in either first or second in the regular season standings, because then if you're third or fourth, you've got to turn around and play 5 and 6 in one game, do or die, win or go home, playoff showdowns. And what happened last year? Kendrick was the 4 seed. Potlatch was the 5. One bad night, one good night from Potlatch, a 3-0 win for the Loggers, and just like that, kaput, Kendrick's out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at these conference standings and coming down the stretch too. Like, I mean, Kendrick doesn't – I mean, they've got games with – I mean, they got some meat in their schedule left. They got Potlatch and Troy, but they got two non-league games against Grangeville, and then they have to play some makeup games against Nez Perce, but – you know, it's like you look at that, like the Grangeville games don't mean anything, but they mean something because Grangeville is a good team. But I mean, you're really looking, you're circling that Potlatch and that Troy game is like the ones like, hey, we got to go 500 there. If they can go 500 in one of those games, like they can split, they're going to get a top two seed going into the district tournament. That's huge. You know, and Potlatch and Troy are saying the same thing. You know, I mean, like with Potlatch clipping Troy last night, you know, I'm sure the Trojans are sitting there and they're like, hey, we can't have another oopsie because then we're going to be joining that pool of everybody else. There's no guarantees. So, yeah, and with the way this conference goes, I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be pretty fun. I mean, it's easy to talk about here.
There is so much good baseball being played up north, and everybody else from other areas of the state are going to poo-poo it. Oh, there's no Owyhee that's dominating. And like, yeah, but you know what? Overall, the quality of the league, I would put 5A, 2A, 1A. I'd put it up against any league anywhere from the rest of the state.
Yeah, and then you look at, I mean, and just to bring it up too, like, you know, Potlatch left, you know, in state stuff, they have Clearwater Valley, Genesee, Troy, Kendrick, St. Mary's remaining on their schedule with a couple of games against Nez Perce. But, like, I mean, so you look at these and you're like, man, I mean, there's no way that these teams – I mean, if they really want to auto bid to state, you can't have an off night. You have one off night, and then you're joining that pool of you're going to have to play back to back games against the 4 and 5 team, and the number 6 team within your conference, and even those teams, you know, they got a puncher's chance. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this thing comes up and who the 3 and 4 seeds are going to be. There's no favorites once you get into those. It's just going to be showing up and whose bats come alive and who's, you know, throwing the race.
Yeah, it is so interesting. So, well, we'll close it out on a comment in the chat here. This is from Anna Vote Vowels. This is Jackson's mother. I got to meet her in person at the statewide all-star basketball games that Jackson participated in. Go Loggers. The White Pine League is ready to road trip and dominate at state again. Thanks for the coverage, Idaho Sports. I mean, we are talking about in the history of 1A baseball being its own thing. You're talking about like 20 to 25 years since a team. And I think a team from District 3 has only done it like once or twice. I went back into the research last year, and maybe I'll pull that up for next week's show, but it is a run of dominance for the White Pine League, not just in championships, but like the last time a team even got like deep into the tournament, you know, North Star Charter did it once a couple of years ago and got to the championship, but they lost to Genesee. I mean, it's been sweepola the past couple of years.
If I'm not mistaken, was the last one that wasn't like, yeah, it's been a long, and that was a long, long time ago.
and they don't even have baseball anymore. That's how long ago that was.
Or Cambridge, it was one of those two teams, but yeah, and regardless, but
it's crazy. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, Anna. And it's so fun to watch Potlatch go out and compete. And I got to meet Jay and Waylon Marshall's mother last year. I was broadcasting the 1A state tournament last year for IdahoSports.com, and Jay and Waylon Marshall's mom, she was part of the official scorekeeping crew up there in the booth. So, you know, I got to meet her and the Marshall boys quite a bit throughout the tournament. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so, you know, will Potlatch get back there? Only way it's guaranteed is if you finish top two in the regular season standings. It's going to be fun. Buckle up. All right.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks are going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
We're ready for it. Get the popcorn and yeah, it's going to be a good time.
For sure. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Idaho PrepCast, everybody. The sun is shining. Get out and enjoy it a little bit if you can. Good luck at all of the competitions. Actually, you know, next Tuesday, I'm going to be at a Timberlake softball game. My cousin, her daughter is a senior at Libby High School in Montana, and Libby is coming over to play Timberlake in softball next Tuesday. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Gets a good catch. Some high school ball, and that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, taking some live action where you can. Travel safe to wherever you're headed this weekend, everybody, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the North Idaho PrepCast. For Ryan Skaggs, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning in on IdahoSports.com.